I'll show everyone again once we get going. It should be any second now, I think. There it is.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do most of the time.
Most of the time. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly, who's out today, and it is Happy Hour Friday, or as we call it, Economics on Tap. Live stream up and running. I've got the Discord going. I see everyone in the chat shouting out their drinks. I appreciate it. And so thanks to everybody who's hopping on in the various places where people join us. Thank you.
You know what's great? You know what's great having you on? You just slide right in. You're just like, yeah, I'm here. I own this.
Hi.
This is me. I know what I'm doing. It's great. No, it's good. It's totally awesome. Today being Friday, we'll do a little half full, half empty. I think Drew's around today, but I'm actually not sure. If you are half full on this show, or even if you're half empty, honestly, take a moment and subscribe, would you? Apple Podcast, whatever you're using, we don't care. But
whichever
just subscribe,
one works at the moment.
And then you can listen and send it to friends. Okay, so this being a Friday, I need to follow up on what I said last week, which was that I'm going to be drinking a Stone 25th Anniversary Triple IPA. So it is. I'm going to have one, and I'm going to have it very gently. But Stone, for those who don't know, these are like the granddaddy of the West Coast IPA people, and I've been a fan for a long time. And it's a good beer, let me tell you that. Phew.
Well, I made a special cocktail just for you, Kai. I made pumpkin spice margarita.
Oh, my God. I thought you were kidding. I totally thought you were. There was banter about this in the Slack, and I thought, oh, no, they're not really going to. Did you really? I hate you.
Yes, I did. And for those who are watching the live stream, you can see that I'm very proud of my drink because I made, like, a brown sugar cinnamon nutmeg salt rim, and I've got my little cinnamon stick for a garnish. And it's one of the more complicated drinks that I make because you have to take like pumpkin puree. You can use fresh or canned, and then you drain the pumpkin liquid off, and then you use that pumpkin liquid to make simple syrup with brown sugar and the spices, and then you add a little bit of the actual pumpkin puree, and then you mix it with tequila and like Cointreau or triple sec or whatever, and some lime juice, and you're making a face, but it's delicious. And that's what I'm having.
Okay, well, so you do you as you do all the time, and more power to you. It's a lot of work.
Not do anything else.
That's true. That's a very good point and an excellent comeback. It's just a lot of work, and I appreciate the craft of it, but all I did was open a beer, and I feel a little cheesy now. That's all.
We love you just the way you are, Kai. Just the way you are.
Jesus. Okay. I said nice things about you, too. Oh, man. All right.
No, I was being serious. That was genuine. Oh, and I forgot that I also put in bitters, but everybody knows I always have bitters.
All right. Fair enough.
news, possibly.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do some news. You know, it's interesting. There are two big news stories today, and we have each hit on one of them. Mine is the admission by the Pentagon that the drone strike that killed 10 people in Afghanistan killed 10 of the wrong people, and then nobody from ISIS-K was killed. In fact, it was civilians and a long-term employee of a humanitarian group over there. This is the direct result of the reporting that the New York Times did a week or so ago with some video analysis. Here's why I bring it up, because it's not generally in our sphere of influence, right? I mean, but I feel obliged to point out one really important thing. The Biden administration has said from the get-go that after the pullout, they will maintain capabilities in Afghanistan to take out terrorist groups because they can work over the horizon. That is to say, they can use remote targeting, they can use remote intelligence, and they can use remote attacks to take out people that they don't want forming terrorist cells or what have you. This is a really good example of over-the-horizon intelligence is really, really not as good as it is to have it on the ground. I won't say bad because there are some really incredible technical capabilities, but over-the-horizon is not as good intelligence. And when you're talking about these kind of attacks, it's critical to have solid intelligence. And when you think of the number of drone strikes that we've done, usually in the dead of night, by the way, over the past 20 years in the Middle East, all over, not just in South Asia and Afghanistan, but on the Arabian Peninsula, it gets really hard to imagine we haven't done this kind of thing before. And in fact, we know we have. And I feel yeah. I need to point that out.
That's what really has jumped out to me about this. There just so happened to be so much focus and energy on what was happening in Afghanistan at the moment of our withdrawal. So there was a lot of media, a lot of U.S. press focused. There are drone strikes, as you mentioned, throughout the Middle East all the time without this kind of focus and attention. And, you know, this got so much follow-up because right away you had people on the ground reporting that this didn't hit the right target. Now, I also think it's worthwhile how quickly that yielded we made a mistake. And
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And I wonder, I've heard other stories about people fighting for years for acknowledgement of drone strikes that went wrong. And is this a symptom of an administration that's more willing to admit when it messed up? Is it a symptom of the fact that the media was there to see it and report on it and hold our leaders to account? Or is it something else? But none of that fixes it for the families, especially those seven kids that were killed in that strike. So,
yeah. Anyway, I just I want to bring that up and give my thoughts because it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Okay, your turn. Your turn.
Yeah. So, big scientific debate today that happened with this FDA advisory panel about booster shots and whether or not, you know, we should get them. Now, I'm going to start this off by saying this is not the end of the debate, but this FDA advisory panel has said that people over 65 and people who are at very high risk should be able to get booster shots of one of the vaccines. I want to say that it's Pfizer. Yeah, the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine. There's a separate process for the other two vaccines. This is not the end of it. The FDA is going to make its own decision. They usually rely a lot on what this particular panel says, and the CDC is going to make its own decision. But this is a step on the path to more widespread booster shots for at least older Americans. And I'm, you know, I just got back from a visit with my mother the other day, and her doctor
who is how old? How old? Your mother's
70.
Of an age,
she's
right?
70.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's 70. And her doctor had been telling her that she didn't need a booster shot, you know, and it hadn't been approved for her. So I've got several thoughts about this. Number one is we still have so many people all over the world who don't have access to vaccines at all. And that's the ongoing issue. We're headed into winter. We have so many more cases. There are, you know, one of the fights that kind of came out in this debate today for younger people is that even though the efficacy of the vaccines may wane over time, the vaccines still pretty much stop you from dying of COVID. And so, and we don't know yet how much more the boosters help you, and the science is still out. So that's one part of, you know, me kind of processing this. The other part of it is, how are they going to stop people from getting a third shot? I know plenty of people who are out there just getting a third jab and saying that they haven't had any vaccine just because they've decided they want a booster. And I just wonder what is in place to stop people from getting that third shot.
Yeah, nothing. 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 You know, so my
mom's 82. Sarah Schlosser says, card with what? Like, show me that you don't have a vaccine card.
right. You know, my mom is 82, and the place she lives, they're going to set up a little facility down in the lobby for all the, you know, ultra senior citizens, I suppose you are when you're over 80 or whatever, to get a shot. And that's great for them. But I think your point about so many people who aren't vaccinated here and around the world is really what's going to keep this being not a pandemic, but the virus will become endemic, and we're going to be wearing masks for a while, and this will be a recurring thing, right? And it just will. And we need to wrap our brains around that and then make sure that everybody does all that they can, despite the politics. This is Friday, not Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. Kimberly,
I'm sorry. I wasn't here on Thursday. I have to, like, you know, get all of my hollowed outness there. Okay, well, and I won't even mention my other one. Maybe we should just, you know.
Well, what's your other one?
Talk about something fun. like banana pants.
Let's talk about banana pants. Holy cow.
Let's talk about banana pants.
I don't even know how to say this, but you people, by you people, I mean all you people.
One might say it's banana pants.
are amazing. A week or so ago, we got on this podcast, Molly and I did, and said, hey, could you by next Friday give us $250,000? And all y'all freaking stepped up. We asked for $250,000. We got $315,000, which is craziness. I will tell you now that Molly and I were prepared to do karaoke as an incentive, as it were. And if you know Molly, you know she likes to sing, and that's fine. If you know me,
don't let me stop
you. I'm the more retiring type. But it turns out, even without that incentive, you guys stepped up. $315,000-ish from almost 3,000 donors. A total, by the way, of 1,061 pair of banana pants have been requested as gifts. Also, there are ringtones. There's all kinds of stuff. Banana pants, by the way, might come back, but they might not in the year-end campaign. So, you know.
Get them while you can.
If you want some, give now. Anyway, so the short answer is thank you. The slightly longer answer is you guys are awesome, and I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do.
That's so cool. Like, thanks, yeah, everyone. That's so nice of y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just great.
You know.
It's just great.
Fuels more cocktail hours.
Yeah. Shush. Don't say that out loud.
I mean, it's technically part of the show, which is news.
It is.
Ish.
That's true. I should expense my beer. That's what I should do. Hello, St. Paul.
Yeah,
here's
good
my
luck
beer
with that.
Tab. All right. Anyway, Drew,
let
before I actually get
goes.
Into trouble, do something, would you? God. Holy cow. Okay. Friday, half full, half empty. Our predictions on various topics. Drew Jostad is back in the saddle. What do you got?
Are you half full or half empty on companies paying for college to attract and retain workers?
I'm all the way full. I think corporate America should step up as being a corporate citizen and help employees with those costs. It benefits the company and it benefits the people and the economy. I don't know. What do you think?
Half full. I'm not going to go all the way full because versions of this program or these types of programs have existed for such a long time.
Yes,
and
key point.
And, you know, whether it be, you know, company reimbursement for college courses or specialized training in factories at community colleges, I don't know how new it is. I guess it's new because Amazon is doing it in a much more purposeful way.
Right.
And I think that it's just sort of another perk in a tight labor market. You know, it worked pretty well for the National Guard for many years. So I guess... Sure.
Yeah, and look, there is the GI Bill. That's come up once in the comments already. And look, this is a really good point from Joseph Kozlowski. We need to stop tying things to jobs, which is a really good, much bigger picture question, talking about health insurance and benefits and all those kinds of things. That's a really good point. But until we have that kind of systemic change, I think, with Kimberly's caveat about how this has been tried many times, generally speaking, I think it's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Several... fast food chains have scholarships for employees sometimes, which is a version of this. But I do think targeting it at sort of lower income workers is a really good thing. It's been a perk more closely associated with higher wage jobs, I think, until relatively recently. So, yeah, half full.
Super quick comment from the comments. Kalo, Kimberly's opinion is so refreshing. Number two.
Yeah.
Rick Ramo, Kimberly, FTW. All right. Anyway, Drew, go.
Half full or half empty on daily paychecks?
Wow.
Half empty.
Are you? How come?
I think that I don't know the story behind this, but just in general, like there's been research about people who have to rely on sort of day laboring that you don't save as well, and it makes it harder to budget because it's sort of one in, one out, and it makes it harder to plan for sort of big expenses, and it tends to exacerbate situations with people who are un or underbanked, but you know, I'm not sure what story this is related to.
Well, I saw it go by in my feed at some point in the last 36 hours. I think you're actually right that it makes it easier to not pay attention to the need to plan. You know, I get X dollars today and boom, it's gone. I think that's exactly right. Yep. Ooh, I hear the cocktail shaker.
Yeah, I poured the rest of it.
Getting every last drop of that pumpkin spice, whatever the
pumpkin
abomination
spice
is you're
drinking, deliciousness.
Right? Oh, God.
The next time
Drew.
We're in the same city, I'm going to make you one, and you're going to like it.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Next.
All right. on a more serious note, the decrease in poverty due to government support in 2020. Thoughts?
You did the story,
Kimberly. I did
the
story. Hey. I'm going to go with half full, but not all the way full, because it demonstrated that the temporary measures we had to alleviate poverty during the pandemic were effective, but those measures were indeed temporary, and many of them are expiring. But I think it's great to have the data that shows what works. I don't know that we necessarily have the political will to keep that going.
We do not. Let me just, spoiler alert, I don't think we do. Just, you know, just saying.
So are you half full or half empty?
I'm whatever you said. It's hard, right? It's hard.
All right, Drew, I really am bringing everybody down.
It's all good.
Okay.
It's all good, pal.
A story from my home state gone national. Are we half full or half empty on Casa Bonita?
This was a
great little piece. It was a nice long piece that Amy actually had a chance to run around and talk to a lot of people about this restaurant in the suburbs of Colorado, which she remembered from her childhood, which has been involved in, you know, like just pandemic stuff and people coming in and helping out and all this and that. Anyway, Casa Bonita, as a proxy for many other restaurants and places that we love in this economy, I think I'm half full. It was great. It was super good. Google it if you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, or go back and listen to the story where she even, you know, talks about cliff divers in a restaurant, which just
inside
blew
inside.
My mind.
Yes.
Inside.
Yes.
It was a great story, but Amy always does such a good job.
She does.
Okay.
She absolutely does.
That was a half full from Kimberly, I guess.
That was all the way full.
All the way full.
All the way full.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of love in the comments,
by the way. Just like my cocktail glass.
Lot of Casa Bonita love in the comments. Holy cow.
I might be the only one on this podcast who's been to Casa Bonita.
Your opinion matters so much more. Where are you on this?
So, come on. Put up or shut up, pal.
Oh, I'm half full on it. People like it. It's campy. It's silly. But there's people diving inside while you're eating your fajitas or whatever.
That's all you need.
I don't know if I'm half full on the South Park part of the story, but that's a different issue.
The South Park part of the story being that the creators of South Park, which featured Casa Bonita in some of the episodes, bought Casa Bonita to save it from bankruptcy or something. But some of the fans of Casa Bonita were not thrilled about that.
This is great. Gene Hobbs says of Casa Bonita, I have been there in the 1970s. Anyway.
It's probably about the same as it was then. Last topic.
Yes.
Cup noodle sodas.
I don't even know what that is. I have no clue.
You know the little ramen things that you get from
Yes, of course.
The convenience store?
Are there sodas now?
They have like a 50th anniversary or something coming up, and they've decided to make a beverage.
So here's my question. How much sodium is in those beverages, right? Because those are basically giant sodium transporters. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, no. Yeah. The comments are going crazy.
You.
What? What? Empty. What? What? Gross.
Empty.
No. What?
As empty
no.
as
empty.
One can possibly
empty.
Be. Emptiness
void,
in my soul.
Yes.
Says the person drinking a pumpkin spice cocktail. Empty.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know who's driving downtown. But, oh, my goodness. Oh, there are the dogs.
Oh,
there are
the dogs.
There's
the dogs.
That's Bonza.
Can't have this
that's
without Bonza. The dogs.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so the kids have come home.
Tim
from
Austin
anyway.
Says that the soda probably tastes like college.
Probably does. Hang on 1 minute. Everybody hold on 1 second. Hey, Bonds! Bonsai! All right, she's going to bark. We're just going to have to deal. Holy cow.
She's being a great defender. That's what she's supposed to do. She's saving you from something.
She is 27 pounds of absolutely spirited. Bonds, come here. Come here. Come on.
She's
come on.
Saving you. She's being a hardcore defender of the realm.
I know.
And that's important.
Oh, there she is. And she's
doing a great job.
Here we go.
Good job, Bonsai.
All right. So. From the shed, it's me and Bonsai. We're done today. Thanks for listening. Next week, an explainer on the social safety net. Actually, this is going to be for reals, super informative. What it is, how it works, all the rest of that stuff, because we talk about it all the time. I'm not sure everybody understands exactly what we mean. Oh, Bons.
Right.
Shush.
The social safety net of dogs.
Can you hear her?
Yes, I can hear her. She's so cute.
I know. So.
All right. If you think of us over the weekend or you'd want to send a question or a comment or an answer to the Make Me Smart question, send us a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or you can call us if you want to share your own barking dogs. You know, we love dog sounds, too. Our number is 508-827-6278, which is 508-UB-SMART.
Sorry about that. I'm really sorry about that.
I love it. I don't have to clean up.
I know, so do I. But I'm not sure everybody else does. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Marquette Green is learning the ropes with us too this week. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. Also, the talent on Half Full, Half Empty. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
All right. And the team behind the YouTube live stream and the game Half Full, Half Empty is Stephen Bion, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, who has been with me in the Slack channel on the pumpkin spice treats, and Mel Rosenberg. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by the amazing Drew Jostad, and the executive director of On Demand is Sotara Nieves.
Boom.
I promise. Ooh, that's called timing, it's good once you have, like, tequila and enough liquor and anything will make it good, really.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.